Support for WVIK comes from Seifert Building Supplies, offering choices of cabinets, countertops, and hardware combinations to create or remodel a new kitchen. For an appointment with a design specialist, 563-391-5110. For more information, QuadCityKitchens.com. What's Happening, Quad Cities, is made possible by support from Seifert Building Supplies, inviting their homeowners and contractors to take their projects to the next level. Learn more at SeifertLumber.com.
Happy Friday morning, everyone. It's time for another episode of What's Happening QC, the culture guide by Quad Citizens for Quad Citizens, brought to you by Seifert Building Supplies. I'm Mark Zeiler.
What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening? What's happening? Gavinport and Rock Island, Bettendorf and Molly. Don't forget about East Moline. What's happening? What's happening?
Our guest this week is the director of the Big River Brass Band, Nicholas Propes. Nick, it's the 20th year of the Big River Brass Band.
Yes, sir.
And you have a lot of really special things in store. Why don't you share with me a little bit about what are the special things you guys are doing to celebrate your 20th anniversary?
Yeah, so we have concerts. First of all, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Really excited to be here hanging out with you. We decided for this 20th anniversary season that all season long, all through our five shows throughout the summer, that we're going to make it very focused on the Big River Brass Band, really focused on our area of the Quad Cities, our bi-state region of Iowa, Illinois. So literally everything has a tie back to either the Brass Band or the Quad Cities or our two states.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a bunch of Carl King marches that we're playing because he's one of the most famous Iowa composers. We also have some Illinois march composers like J.J. Richards, maybe not as well known as Carl King, but he was a band director in Sterling, Illinois area and wrote a bunch of fantastic marches. And then we also have some like very local composers. So, for instance, like John Casto was the superintendent of Rock Island Schools way back in the day.
Interesting.
But also wrote some marches. And Ernst Otto was a music teacher in the Davenport Schools and wrote a march called the Mississippi Valley Fair and Exposition March, which we're going to play. So we have like these super local composers who have composed some marches.
Mm-hmm.
We have some pieces that have been composed specifically for us over the years. We are going to perform an arrangement of Ode to Joy that was written for us in 2019. James Stevenson, we commissioned him to write a piece in memory of one of our former band members who passed away. We're going to bring that out again. But then we also commissioned a piece brand new for this year just to celebrate our 20th anniversary. From a composer in Colorado named Kevin Polking, who writes fantastic brass music. And so he wrote a piece specifically for us that sort of weaves into it sort of the history of the brass band. There are still five original members of the band who have been with us for all 20 years. And so at one point, it even comes down to like just those five members playing themselves as a little quintet.
Interesting.
And then gradually adds back on musicians as we like sort of symbolize that growth that the band has seen from, I think it was like six members at their first basement rehearsal to now 45 members in the group.
Cool.
And then we also have, speaking of like local composers, a student at North Scott High School who has really gotten, you know, hit by the composition bug, composed a brass piece, that we're going to play as well throughout the summer called A Mote of Dust. So Pacey Kane is really an up and coming, like couldn't be more up and coming as a soon to be high school junior. So we're going to have him have his piece throughout the summer too.
Well, that sounds like a really great rundown of a fantastic celebration of all the work that folks have done over the years for the Big River Brass Band. We're about out of time for the on-air version. Where can people find out all about this season?
Yeah, BigRiverBrassBand.com is our website. We have 5 concerts, and you can find out all the dates and locations on our website.
Awesome. More with Nicholas Propes after this message.
What's Happening, Quad Cities, is made possible by support from Seifert Building Supplies, inviting their homeowners and contractors to take their projects to the next level. Learn more at SeifertLumber.com.
As the director of the Big River Brass Band, and knowing you, there have to be some thoughts and feelings involved with being the director of an ensemble that's celebrating such a milestone. But you're just you mentioned in the other version that there's 5 original members mm-hmm. left, and you're not one of them.
I am not one of them.
So you're kind of taking the baton, if it's a conducting, but also running metaphor there.
Oh,
but tell me a little bit about your thoughts of being the director that's been entrusted with planning such a wonderful celebration.
Yeah, I think maybe this season, not that I don't put a lot of thought into all of the seasons, mm-hmm. right? I always, try to be very thoughtful about what we're playing any given year, but this year especially, and especially working on the commission piece, a lot of thought, a lot of research to make sure that we do this season right, mm-hmm. that we make sure that everything really does tie back to the band, because that was really important. And thinking about the commission piece and talking to Kevin, about how can we symbolize the history of, the ensemble mm-hmm. in a basically 4-minute
right.
piece of music. How do you get 20 years into 4 minutes? So it was really important to me. It was important to me also to highlight those founding members, which is why it comes down to just that quintet in the middle of the commissioned piece, which is titled As It Came to Be, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
As It Came to Be, end of title, not
yes.
by the way. So As It Came to Be comes down to those first 5 members, and that was important to me. But then it was also important to make sure that, Phyllis and Jerry Miller were the founding members. They were the ones that brought it all together.
Right.
So it's important to spotlight their contribution. So they're each going to play a solo
mm-hmm.
At every concert this summer. So, just making sure that we honor sort of that the past and how we've as we've come to be
right
honor that throughout the season. It was actually, I was thinking about this just the other day, how long have I been part? I have not been part of this group since the beginning, but it kind of snuck up on me. This is my 10th season.
Wow.
Conducting the, I know, right? That's what I thought too. I was like, wait a minute, I'm counting on my hands because I'm a tuba player. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh wait, holy crap, this is this is my 10th year conducting the group, so that kind of snuck up on me too. But yeah, getting a chance to work with this group for 10 years, and that's like half of their existence,
Right.
There's a bunch of history before me, but then I also feel a lot of responsibility having been part of it for as long as I have been too.
Absolutely. Well, let's reflect back on your 10 years.
Yeah.
So we've reflected on the 20th year of the Big River Brass Band. A lot has gone on in the past 10 years Ooh. For you. You've done a lot of things.
Lots of change, yeah.
But how has the brass band been in terms of incorporating it into the portfolio of activities that you have? What does being the leader of a group like that do for you personally? And how has that kind of blossomed over these 10 years?
Right. So
these are the hard-hitting questions.
These are hard
that you
questions.
Get only pretty much.
So as a music teacher, I don't ever want to teach students just to make music for their school career.
Right. Right?
My goal is to always have students be lifelong lovers, appreciators, and ultimately, hopefully, participants mm-hmm. in music, right?
Right.
I grew up in Ames, Iowa, and Ames has a very strong community municipal band there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember from an early age going to see those municipal band concerts, and then when I was home in the summers from college playing in the municipal band.
Right.
And now here I am conducting essentially what is a municipal, you know, community band, even though we're not tied necessarily to a city. But it's still that sort of same idea of a musical outlet for adults who want to continue playing, right?
Okay.
And so that's like, that's really important to me as mm-hmm. somebody who grew up going to those concerts, then playing in a band like that, and now being a teacher who teaches students to love music, and then being able to do that for these adults in that group, right? That's
right.
But I'm, and for myself too, right? Mm-hmm. If I didn't, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my seventh grade students.
Right.
But being able to conduct a group like the Big River Brass Band is also, it's important for me for my own musical growth, mm-hmm. right? And my own musical longevity, if
right.
you will.
So, I mean, I suppose in other words, that this is how you walk the walk.
Right.
And, you know, you're talking right. the talk in the schools and, you
exactly.
know, you're walking a walk
that's a great,
there as well.
That's
but
a great point.
In terms of, like, you can't advocate for lifelong music making if you
I
have no desire
music
to make music.
Life. Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right. Right. So I am living that message that I try to tell my students that you can make music for life. Right. This is something that you can do in your 60s, 70s, 80s. You
right.
know, not just the years that you're in school. This is mm-hmm. something you could do forever. And it's given, you know, all of us some fantastic experiences. You know, we talked about that commission piece.
Right.
This is the third time, I guess, that as a member of the brass band that we've had a piece commissioned for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always just a fascinating process to do
right.
that. You know, we've had numerous guest performers play with us
mm-hmm.
At various concerts, you know, and having those sort of experiences are unique. And I would not have had those experiences if I didn't conduct the brass band, right? I wouldn't have gotten to have those fantastic world-renowned guest soloists share the stage with us, including
right.
yourself.
World-renowned.
World-renowned.
I have been around
you
the world a little bit. But so, yeah, I always tell my students that, you know, I think a big part of my story is like music as the nucleus for like human connection from
right.
like when I think about who are the people that I spend the most time with, but and it's 2025. So both physically and, you know, online, I play a lot of video games with old friends and stuff like that, that, you know, as I think about it, most of them, I either played in like school band with them, or I was in choir with them,
right.
or we played in like metal bands growing up,
right.
or they were in a band that played with my band. And so like
right.
just music has been this thing that has been central to a lot of my relationship making, but also it's been the key. Oh, and I can't fail to mention that I met my wife at eighth grade summer band.
I met my wife in the Hawkeye marching band,
so
right?
Music,
those connections you make in music ensembles, they are strong.
100%. And so, you know, the other thing is that it's really been a key to unlock travel for me. Like
right.
being a good horn player allowed me to go on a 6-week German tour and experience both the highs and lows of being away from home for
right.
6 weeks. And I got paid to do it,
right.
which felt even better.
Even better.
Right. And,
right.
and anybody who's ever like done traveling with music, it's like, yeah, there's the drives or the flights or whatever, but like there's time, you know, like
yeah.
to do things during the day. And like we did, a bunch of rehearsing before we went on the tour. So it was like, I got to do the touristy stuff too, because it's like you get to the hall at 10 a.m. You might have a sound check at 3
right.
and then a concert at 7:30. So there's a lot of time to like head out and, you know, see the Brahms Museum in Hamburg and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's like there are just so many opportunities in it. And I think that those opportunities seem to be like more accessible to different kinds of people, in the sense that, like, yes, sports can help you travel and all that kind of stuff, but it's also like, if you're not in the top 5% of physicality, you're probably not going to go beyond, you know, your high school team and stuff like that. So,
and not for very long, right?
Right.
And there are people in the brass band who are 80 years old. I don't know the last time I saw an 80-year-old football player.
Absolutely.
I can tell you the last time I saw it. Never.
Right. And, well, not playing.
Well, right. Correct. Right. I should, yes, let's put a caveat on that. Not playing.
Right. Yes. So, and I mean, you know, for me, it's not about, like, you know, sports have their place for me.
Of course.
I bowl constantly now and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you know, picking up something like music as a, like, I suppose, hobby, passion, even, you know, professional pursuit, those things are always present. You're always making new friends. You're always like unlocking a new interesting opportunity, like going to play at a bassoon conference. That's what I did last week. Anyway, so talk to me a little bit about what it's like to be, you know, a foundational teacher for students, because in the North Scott district, you don't start them.
Start in seventh grade.
Okay, so you start them.
When I hand them their instrument, that is the first time they have put hands on their instrument.
Awesome. Yeah. So, like, tell me about that experience. You know, that's like, I suppose, you know, I've heard my dad talk about it because he's a band director, but that's something that, like, unless you're doing it, you don't really see all the parts of it. So tell me about what that's like.
It is amazing. And also very challenging.
Yeah.
Like, so I taught high school band for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the brass band for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have never worked as hard as I have as a beginning band teacher for these last 4 years.
Right.
Like, you have to think about every single thing that you do.
Right.
With the high school kids, with the Big River Brass Band, they know how to hold their instrument. Mm-hmm. They know how to sit up straight. They know how to breathe, right? That's one thing that, like, you don't necessarily think of, like, when you're playing an instrument. Like, you have to breathe different. So I literally have to teach the students how to breathe.
Right.
It's like, what do you mean breathe?
And
I just breathe.
Like, put the thing together.
Right, right.
Reliably.
Right, yeah. This part goes here. That part goes there. You put your hand there. You put your other hand here. You put your finger on that button. You put your other finger on this button.
Turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
Right. To the hokey pokey. And then don't forget to breathe.
Right.
Right. And you really have to, like, think about every single thing that you do. And it's a difficult job. But then, like, you go back, like, we just got out of school a couple weeks ago, right?
Right.
And our last week or so of school was we would do, like, throwback Thursday or flashback Friday. Mm-hmm. And we'd go back and play some of those things from the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Like hot cross buns, right?
Yeah.
And just remember that 7 months ago, you couldn't play this. Like, you had no idea, like, how this went. And now we're playing, you know, it's easy to play. We're playing much harder music. You know, you've played, you know, four major scales. And just a couple months ago, you couldn't play a three-note song very well.
Right.
Right. So that's that sort of, like, reflection makes it such a rewarding process.
100%. So how important to a student do you think it is for them to kind of be shown their improvement? Like, I imagine,
super important.
Yeah,
right.
Like, and, you know, I teach kids as well, where it's like, to me, I think it really helps to address, like, plateaus and the highs and lows of learning an instrument. But how does that play in for your students?
Okay, so this is one of the things that you're going to get me on my soapbox here.
Do it.
That I think is vitally important in our schools right now, especially. Kids, not just kids, all of us. Every single one of us are just able to embark in instant gratification.
Right.
Right. Any point of the day, you know, especially now with like AI and stuff, mm-hmm. everything is easier than it used to be.
Right.
Everything is easier than it used to be, except for learning to play an instrument.
Right.
You know, like all of our students are one-to-one with technology. So every student has their own Chromebook.
Right.
We never use Chromebooks in our class.
Right.
Because what you can't, the computer can't play your clarinet for you.
Right.
Right.
And ultimately the class is about learning to play an instrument.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it is slow going. And we talk about this with the students all the time. Hey, you're going to make mistakes.
Right.
Guarantee you're going to make a mistake on your instrument.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be slow, but it's going to be worth it.
Right.
Right. And I think that's such an important lesson for students and for anybody, you know, that we're losing now with this sort of like instant gratification culture that we live in right now,
mm-hmm.
where you can literally pull out the little computer in your pocket and search any sort of information, you know, do any kind of calculation that you want. And so I really think that our music rooms are like maybe one of the last places that hasn't really been taken over by technology.
Right.
And where you still have to do the time, right?
Right.
But it's a slow process.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times students, you know, they don't see themselves getting any better because it's so incremental. You know, from day to day to day to day to day, you make such minuscule improvements. But over time, that ends up being huge improvement.
Right.
And so you have to go back and look, you know, long term, quote unquote, you know, it's 7 months, right, of the school year. But you've got to go back and look at where you've been in order to know where you're at now, because the changes have been so small.
Right. And like, I've talked about bowling a lot on the podcast, so people who get to this point are not surprised by it. But I think one of the reasons why I have been so into it over the past like handful of years is that it is something that I can do to like kind of reverse my teacher brain,
mm-hmm.
not like reverse in terms of like go backwards, but like I often don't think about myself applying my own teaching techniques to my own life or playing. And I mean, I suppose, obviously like the routines and the fundamentals and the things that I'm doing in my lessons are things that I do in my own playing,
right.
In my own practicing. But in terms of this idea, like I'm putting myself in the shoes of a student who is learning something brand new.
Right.
It's like I've thrown bowling balls before, but when you start to try to throw them in certain places, it's like a whole other
thing.
Takes repetition. Right. And then you've got, you know, the different elements that you get into when you start to like bowl in leagues and compete and all this kind of stuff. And so for me to be able to notice also that I am not immune to the feelings that my students have of wanting to be great right away.
Right.
Where it's like, I heard somebody say that like becoming a better bowler doesn't come from throwing a 236 and then a bunch of 76s afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the 112 becomes a 120 average,
right,
becomes
exactly.
a 130 average,
right.
and you just keep going
right.
up. And it's like, for me, like I look back and I'm like, in a super challenging league over the summer that's introducing a whole other level of challenges to me. It's like I'm bowling like crap in comparison to my best days, but I'm not comparing myself to my best day. I'm working to make my average
right
better,
yeah,
as opposed to my highs higher or trying to protect myself from the low lows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I go into lessons now and be like, y'all, I get it. Like, it's so easy for me to say, like, don't focus on this, focus on that. But, like, then you put yourself in an environment in which you are not an expert.
Yeah.
And then you see the same kind of desires coming out of it.
A couple of years ago, so let me jump
in for
a
second.
Did you ever see it was when the Philadelphia Eagles were going to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. right? And there was this awesome clip of Jason Kelce.
Right.
Did you see that one, right? Where he's like talking about when he played Barry Sax in his school band, in his school jazz band.
Yeah.
And he literally talked about how going through the process of learning to play an instrument helped him with that mentality, just like you're saying,
right?
In his football, like, the power of repetition, if you want to learn the power of repetition and those incremental gains, learn a musical instrument, and you're going to see that power. And then he applied that to his football
like
playing.
With certainly
right?
a Hall of Fame career that he had.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, yeah, the parallels are right there. Yeah.
And I believe he, his band director even got a portion of his retirement speech.
Yes, he did. So, yeah.
You know, we can tell that that's something that really affected him because mm-hmm. it's been present in his, you know, public persona for
right.
a long time.
Right.
Well, what else can we talk about, Nick? How was your school year?
It was a good school year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a hectic school year. It was an odd school year because we got a new band room at North Scott Junior High, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
I think last time you were on, it was in the process of being built.
Yeah.
Probably so. So.
Well, it's done now.
It's done now. Tell me about like, you know, how everybody's received having a new beautiful space. I've seen it. It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, but it made the school year kind of long because it was like three school years in one because we ended last year in the gym. We right. had rehearsals
there
in the
no
gym.
There was no room.
Right, like
no
lowest of the
longer.
Low. Right. And then when we started, the room wasn't quite done yet, so we shared the orchestra room with the orchestra students and teachers, mm-hmm. which was fine. We get along well. It was right. great, but it was very crowded, and right. we were like on each other's toes mm-hmm. all the time.
And like with classroom yeah. changeover and trying to
right.
run rehearsals, it's like
right.
you don't have
there
time
was,
to waste.
Right. There was an ensemble in the room literally every period of the day. So it's like, you know, hurry up and get out so the next class can get in kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was fine. We got along well. No problems. Just very crowded.
Right, right, right.
But then over winter break, then we got to move into our new room. So it was just a bunch of moving throughout the year, a bunch of changes. But we got into our new room over winter break and came back from winter break that very first day. Mm-hmm. And like kids walked into the new band room and it was like big eyes, like, whoa, this is my classroom. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just been like living in a dream ever since.
That's awesome.
It's a fantastic facility. And I'm so got to just say thanks to the North Scott School District and the North Scott families who
for getting it done.
Supported that project.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So when the room was finally ready, was this like a I'm going out to my band room kind of moment over your winter break? Or were you did you have the self-control to wait until school was back to get in there?
Oh, I don't have any self-control. Oh, right. I was going in and out of that room all the time.
Right.
Like I was going in to check on it every week at least.
Right.
Yeah. There's no self-control.
The move was all right.
Yeah. The move was great.
Awesome. Let's get into brass band a little bit more
sure.
before we
let's
sign off here.
Okay.
So we've talked about, you know, some of the special elements in terms of commissioning, mm-hmm. also featuring commissions from previous years and things like that. Why don't we talk about the concerts that are before that big finale at St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of them are places that the brass band returns to year after year. And so let's, you know, let's highlight them, get some, you know, dates out there and all that. But I've been a member of the band. I'm not playing this summer, but I've been a member of the band and each one of these have like a little unique flavor to them. So
they do.
Talk to me about that and you know, kind of how that makes the brass band experience unique.
Right. So our performances usually end up being part of another city's already existing park concert series.
Right.
Right. So we started our season on Thursday, June 19th down in Aledo at their Thursday night park series.
Mm-hmm.
We love going to Aledo. You know, they have a really beautiful band shell there that, you know, they light it up all nice once the sun starts going down. But that's sort of the thing. Like each of the parks has like its own unique feel,
right?
Vibe to it.
Like,
right?
What's the what's like the one that's the furthest away? I can't remember.
Sterling.
Yeah. Like Sterling was funny because it was like the Snack Shack. only sold water and popcorn.
Yeah.
So it's like that one was like, oh, it's the popcorn concert. The
popcorn one. That's also like the stage that has like the most amazing acoustics. Yeah. Right? That's the one where like you can whisper on stage.
And it actually feels like playing inside, but you're outside.
Yeah.
Whereas other ones, it as a horn player, which is a reflected sound instrument,
that's right.
Playing outside is a whole other thing.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's playing outside. It's not always the best quality sound because the sound just kind of goes.
Right.
And like away. Right.
There's but also no, like, there's the element of like what happened to us in Geneseo last year where it's like, 30 minutes before the concert, the heavens open up and pour down rain.
Yeah. Well, guess we're not doing this.
It's like, yeah. I don't necessarily have to have anything in my mind as the personnel manager of the QCSO, with the exception of Riverfront Pops, where it's like weather cancellations.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Rain, we're inside. That's fine.
Yeah. Unfortunately, all these outside concerts, there's always an element of the elements.
Right. 100%.
Yeah, so that Aledo concert was how we started our season this year. But then we always perform in Bettendorf at Veterans Memorial Park. Mm-hmm. Bettendorf has their own concert series. So this year we're there on July 11th at 7:30. And that usually is one of our larger crowds because the Bettendorf concert series is pretty popular.
Right.
So, you know, people come down specifically just for that concert series.
Ice and cream, too.
Ice cream, yes. We'll have all the ice creams and cookies and cakes that you care to eat. And so that's, you know, that's always a really fun one, just because it's got a great, great crowd and a great park. Mm-hmm. And then, like you were talking about, this one in Sterling, that's going to be on July 19th at 7:30. It's a bit of a drive from here.
Right.
But for those folks that are in Sterling, they are blessed with a... fantastic facility there.
Mm-hmm.
Just an amazing.
And they have a municipal band there as
well. They do, right? Yeah. A wonderful municipal band that's doing some great things. Mm-hmm. So if you ever do want to go hear a good band and you don't mind driving to Sterling, go check out the Sterling Municipal Band sometime or come and see the Big River Brass Band on July 19th.
Right.
But yeah, and that's one of our favorite venues to play in because even though it is an outside theater and park, it just sounds wonderful in that room. July 29th, then we go down to Geneseo, 7 o'clock.
The return to Geneseo.
The return to
After
Geneseo.
After a one-year hiatus because of rain.
Yeah. We all got on stage. We didn't set up our stuff. So we were about to start putting out chairs and stands. And they were like, don't know about this.
And I remember like Austin and I had just pulled into the parking lot. And then saw the text you sent me.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's a trip to Geneseo is always fine.
And Geneseo, I think they're the ones that have the like county courthouse with the bell tower across the way. So it's like, okay, we'll start the concert after the bells ring.
Right.
100%. And bong, bong, bong. Concert time. Okay, here we go.
Star Spangled Banner.
Right, right. So every like, I mean, that's the thing. Like every venue has its own like personality to it.
Right.
Right.
Like the Adler, you can hear the motorcycles.
Right, and that adds to the show, right?
When I'm right about to play a beautiful solo, and I hear going up Brady Street. Love it. Love it so much.
And then, so we have those outside concerts. And like we said, you know, sometimes the outside concerts present some challenges acoustically. Mm-hmm. Right, which is why we started doing at the end of our summer an inside concert,
right.
So we get that inside acoustic sound. Mm-hmm. And so August 3rd, 3 p.m., we're going to be at St. Paul Lutheran. Love playing at St. Paul.
Yes,
it's a great venue.
Which is where you guys also do your yearly Christmas concert.
Also do our yearly Christmas holiday concert.
We're going to break some news here.
Yeah, if you are, you know, already looking forward to Christmas time, which some of us love Christmas and are already looking forward to it. That's right. December 21st this year, 3 p.m. At St. Paul for our A Very Brassy Christmas. That's what we call it.
Excellent.
So, yeah, make sure it's a free concert. Make sure you come out and join us for that concert. It's always a good one, always very popular. And we'll get you, like, just if you're not already in the holiday mood, 4 days before Christmas. This will make sure that you will be in the holiday mood. Awesome. So that's our cancer season.
Thanks for coming by the station today. And
yeah,
it was fun being on the radio with you.
Yeah, always love hanging out at WVIK. Love it here.
Well, thanks again, Nick. And folks, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to, if you're listening on our website, find yourself a podcast player. Subscribe. Those subscriptions really make us feel great here at WVIK, knowing that y'all are out there listening and loving this content. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week on the next episode of What's Happening QC. Thank you for listening to What's Happening QC. Our theme music is by Centaur Noir and Del Rockford. WHQC is produced by WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Support for WVIK comes from Seifert Building Supplies, presenting a newly remodeled kitchen showroom in Davenport. Seifert has 130 years' experience in kitchen design, with design specialists on site. More information is available at QuadCityKitchens.com.